Our scripture lesson today comes from Timothy chapter 3. All of it. And while you're looking that up, we say good morning to our video audience who will be joining us now. Timothy chapter 3 for the sermon titled My Whetstone. And while you're looking that up, I have to relate to you. I had a chance to be a preacher this week, out in the open, wild and free. I was walking around on a job site and I happened to notice that a group of boys had circled themselves around a dog. And the dog was looking a little mangy and a little run out, and they had a rope around it, and they was rather loudly exclaiming the virtues of the dog and carrying on. And I eased up on them because I thought that maybe they was planning on doing some harm to the dog. And so I got up next to them and I said, What's going on here, fellas? And they all took a look at me and they said, well, we all found this dog and we all want to keep it. I said, all right, explain to me what the problem is. Well, we're having a contest to see who can take the dog home. And I said, well, what's the contest? They said, we're trying to see who can tell the biggest lie. And I thought to myself, that's terrible. This is a chance for me to teach them the word of the Lord. And so I said, that's terrible, boys. You know, I accepted the Lord at a young age, and I grew up in the Lord, and I always obeyed my parents, and I never told fibs, and I never took what was mine, and I never stole cookies from the cookie jar, and I never yelled at cars in traffic, and I have grown up as an example of Jesus Christ, and so should you. And all the boys in that circle put their head down, and finally one of them looked at the other one and said, well, give the preacher the dog then. Timothy chapter 3.
One or two?
I'm sorry, 2 Timothy, thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth, men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. But the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that in this time now that we are drawn together that we hear the words, that we are lifted from it, that we are strengthened from it, that we gain from it for the week to come, for the time to come. These words, Father, belong to you. Thank you for letting us hear them. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. All right. Now let me explain something to you. I am an easy target. You understand me? I am an easy target. I am an easy mark. I graduated at the top of my class in high school. I graduated from the vaulted university here in this state with a BA, a BS, a PhD, all kinds of doctorates, all kinds of learning. Graduated at the top of my college class. I am a highly educated individual. Well, I made it out of high school. I've driven through a couple colleges. But I am an easy target. And for those of you out there in TV land who haven't been a part of this congregation for the past 13 years, have never heard of how easy a target I am. I am not allowed to watch infomercials. I'm not allowed to even go near the television when there's an infomercial on. If the family is in the room, they take the phone from me and hide my wallet because I fall prey to all that stuff. We won't get into the story about the Eggies anymore. I love them commercials, man. I love watching them things. I'm like, it's got to be true. How in the world? It's got to be true. And you know what this time of year is? It's fair season. Now, granted, there are no county fairs, but it still doesn't stop me from thinking about what fair season is. And when we go to the county fairs, I go three places. I love going to the dairy barns to see the cows. I love going down Machinery Row because everything on Machinery Row I want. And I love, mind you, love going in the commercial exhibits building. At the Montgomery County Fair, in the commercial exhibits building, they have a room set up with a sound stage. They don't do this, I don't think, at Frederick County Fair. But they have a room set up in this building with a sound stage. And they have a time calendar on the side as to who's going to be hawking what, who's going to be bringing what to the fair. And they have seats where you can sit there and the guy will come out and he will start to talk about everything. And do you know how many times I have almost bought things like, well, I don't know. I almost bought a car one time and a vacuum cleaner and a house. Heck, this one dude was even selling a manufacturing business and I tried to get to be a part of it. Anything that those guys do because they catch my attention, they just... I don't think you're getting it. Hang on for a minute. One second there, and I'll be right with you as soon as I get my fumbling fingers to work right. La 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 la. Gotta put on my scarf, you know, because if you were ever alive back in the day of when they had a scarf, that's how they did that. Get this situated. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the scarf not quite put on there, right? And now, ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you direct from the shores of Topeka, Nebraska. I'd like to invite you to come to the Walla Walla Widget Company and stay right there as I bring you in my famous new design. Why, no house in this world should be without of it. And I have traveled many a miles, ladies and gentlemen, many a miles to bring to you this wonderful new product that no house should be without. That's right, I'm talking about it. And as I bring it out here from my wonderful briefcase supplied by the Walla Walla Widget Company, I give to you the very simple thing known as a piece of notebook paper. I'm serious, ladies and gentlemen. I would never deign to entreat your senses in such a way that you wouldn't understand it. How many times have you had a piece of paper in your hand and reached into your kitchen drawer and brought out a knife and couldn't cut that piece of paper with your dull knife? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, It is a trouble that has surpassed everything in this nation. And the Walla Walla Widgie Company from the beautiful shores of the Atlantic Ocean there in Topeka, Nebraska, are endeavoring me to bring to you one of the most wonderful new inventions that you could ever have. If you ever wanted to cut a piece of paper, mind you, see how it doesn't cut? We're going to walk through that today as we get out the new and wonderful Walla Walla Widgie Company's new knife sharpener. Yes, sir, this Easy-O-Matic opening sharpener has all the features that you need. It has a fine side, it has a coarse side. It has a tray there to catch those filings away and folds up and goes right into your pocket for easy disposal. So if you're ever in a crowd and you see somebody that's trying to cut a piece of paper and it won't go through, you can whip out your Walla Walla Widget knife sharpener and say, "Let me show you." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know what you're thinking. Why in the world would I need a Walla Walla Widget sharpener? Everybody needs a whetstone, but it's hard to carry such a thing in your pocket, isn't it? You want to walk around. If you sit down on a whetstone, you'll crush it. No! The Walla Walla Widget Company has produced this handy-dandy, easy-folding, put-away knife sharpener. How does it work, you may ask? I'm so glad you did. You just take your doll kitchen apparatus, which you need all the time, and you just simply place it in the Walla Walla Widget sharpener. And as I'm talking to you, it's supposed to go in there, right, isn't it? Stay away from me, son. You bother me. You just pull it a couple times. You just pull it a couple times more. And voila! You now have a super sharp kitchen... You now have a super sharp kitchen cutting utensil that is guaranteed to be so sharp that you can't live without it. Now, I know what you're thinking. How in the world can I buy the Walla Walla Widget Company's knife sharpener for the low, low price of $29.99? You can't! No, sir, ladies and gentlemen. Today, not for the low cost of $29.99, you cannot buy the Walla Walla Widget Company's knife sharpener. You cannot buy it for $19.99. You cannot buy it for $12.99. But today, from the bright sunny shores where the Atlantic Ocean meets Topeka, Nebraska, and the waves come up and the truth is clear, you can buy the Walla Walla Widget Easy Fold Back Pocket Knife Sharpener for the low, low price of $9.99. And today, and only today, if you buy two of them, I'm going to sell them to you at $18 for the pair. That's quite the price and quite the cut through on that. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, could you possibly live without a whetstone sharpener from the Walla Walla Widget Company of Topeka, Nebraska? Everybody say no!
No!
I'll see you after my presentation. That's how comes I get suckered in. Yes, you may clap now. I am the dumbest person in the world when it comes to that stuff. And it's the truth, though, isn't it? We all want something that keeps us going, and yet we're never quite sharp enough to pay attention to what we're up against. Not me. I don't know how in the world sometimes I remember to tie my shoes in the morning. And Paul is writing that. Paul is writing that. When I was growing up, I lived next to a farm where the Glaze brothers farmed. I was a young kid then. I was maybe 10, 11, 12 years old. And my dad and my grandfather would send me down over the hill to help them farm. Because it was only two of them. And when I was young, they was in their 60s anyway. And they raised tobacco. Which I can tell you, there's a whole sermon coming out of that. But they raised tobacco. But in the fall of the year, we had to go down and clean the creek banks. Now, why did we have to clean them? Because when the snow would melt down in that valley farm, the creek would come up. And if there was too much growth on the side of the banks, they always told me it would take the growth out and ball it up down at the road where it crosses underneath the conduit, underneath the culvert. It would bind it up and allow the water to back up into their farm. And so 300 yards of creek bank every fall had to be cleared off with a bramble scythe. No weed eater, no bush hog, no sickle bar mower, a bramble scythe. How many people in this room have ever swung a bramble scythe? That's right. That is the nastiest tool you have ever seen in your life. That thing's got them two handles on it. I started to bring mine, but I figured you all would think I was doing a sermon about the Grim Reaper, so I decided to leave it home. But imagine, that's a bramble scythe. That thing has two handles on it. And you have to swing it a certain way, right? You can't just stand there and go like that. No! That elbow has to lay into that arm on that bramble scythe. And you have to do that hip thing where you turn this foot this way and you come into it and around. And into it and around and pull up and walk. And into it and around and pull up and walk. And as we would walk those banks, about every 20 yards, we would stop. Now, and I know that my mother and father are probably going to watch this video, and I'm about to get into so much trouble. But oh well, I was 12 years old. They were tobacco farmers. They chewed tobacco. Every 20 yards, we would stop, and they would put in a fresh chew, and they would give me some, and I would put in a little chew of tobacco, and then from our bib overhaul pockets, we'd get out our whetstones, and we'd stand there, and we'd chew tobacco, and we'd sharpen that bramble scythe, just running that stone across on both ends. That's how I'd spit, because I never figured I didn't have it all down across me. And the old men would sit over there and they'd spit half a country mile. And they'd be over there doing that, laughing at me. And we'd go 20 yards and sharpen. And 20 yards and sharpen. And 20 yards and sharpen. And so one time I decided not to. I didn't sharpen. And I couldn't keep up with them. Because my whetstone had not come out of its holding place and kept my work sharp. I think that is where we're at in this country. I think that's where we have become lost. We have got to stay sharp. Proverbs 27:17 says to keep yourself sharpened. Man against man is steel on steel. We have got to stay sharp all day long. And I mean all day long. All we hear is noise about how horrible everything is. And as we all well know, and I'm going to time this a little bit or date this, we all know that a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court passed away. And may she rest in peace. Nobody, not everybody, agreed with her politics. But now all of a sudden we're faced with a rather tumultuous time, ain't we? We got to put another Supreme Court justice in. And do you know what I have heard repeatedly? If anybody from the conservative side, or let's call it the American side of life, wants to do this, let's burn the country to the ground. Let's kill the Christians. Let's make sure that people on their way to the hospital aren't allowed health care. Let's take care of it and we'll change this country and we'll destroy it. And that's the vernacular that we hear. That is the hatred that is spewed. And it works on you. Seriously. Say amen. How many in here are tired of hearing about this constantly on the news? Say amen.
Amen.
You know, back in the 80s, Ann Murray had a great song. Sure could use a little good news today. Anybody remember that song? She starts it off by singing, I think the first verse goes, rolled out this morning, the kids had the morning news show on. Bryant Gumbel was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. How I wish we could clear up the air. Let's hear him talk about the county fair. Sure could use a little good news today. I believe I've got it close to being right. And yet, when we're getting beat on, sometimes we get so dulled out that we forget our whetstone. We lose sight. We start to become just like the rest of everybody else because we get to forgetting. And don't say you don't, because all of us are part of it. Oh man, I'm telling you right now, quote unquote, if I had my way, I'd drive down there and I'd go right down into that there state capitol. I'd go down in there to Washington, D.C. and I'd take all them senators out behind the woodhouse and I'd give them a whooping. I'd straighten their little hind ends out. I'd make sure that they got what their daddy and mommy didn't give to them near enough. How many people would ever have... You may never have said that, but you darn sure thought it, haven't you? Yeah, go ahead and go. I've said it. And we get lost in the sight of unsound doctrine. How many people get ashamed when they are chided because they say there is only one God and one way to heaven? One way through Jesus Christ our Savior. How many people are fearful to be honest and true about that all the time? A lot of them. A lot of people. That's why you need your whetstone, don't you? Have you ever seen my whetstone? Let me hold it up for you. Right here it is. This is your whetstone. This is your sharpening tool. How many people opened up their whetstone when I read from 2 Timothy chapter 3? I love that bumper sticker that you see on cars every now and then. Bibles are just like parachutes. They only function when they're open. I love that bumper sticker. This is your whetstone. This is your sharpening tool. This is what keeps you able to keep moving through the weeds, through the destruction. As we go back into that scripture, Paul is pleading, begging. He is instructing, sharpening. He is preparing. Open that back up again. And if you closed them, I'll give you a couple seconds to open it back up. And you at home had better have them open as well. You can get them on your phone now. You can get them just about anywhere. I love how Timothy chapter 3... 2 Timothy chapter 3 starts off this way. But mark this. Paul is giving sound doctrine instruction. Paul is telling you right then, get ready to start sharpening. But mark this. And that ought to be the call to all the Christians in the world right now. He goes on to write, there will be terrible time. You understand that this was written somewhere around AD 67, I think, or 64. Paul's in prison. I've told you all 100 times. I'll tell you all out in video land since you're new members of the church. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is one that I read often and cannot get all the way through without bawling like a baby. Because we are reading the last words of Paul. He's in prison writing these words. AD 60-something. That's many, 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 many years ago. And yet he goes on and says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Sorry, Mom and Dad. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. Paul writes these words. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak will. And I'm not using women, because I'm going to say that when he wrote that, it was a time at which the women were subject to people coming in the home. How many people are going over right now, in their minds, the words that they're hearing, the things that are being said, and worrying that they may be falling prey to just for a moment listening to it and believing in it? I do. You can say amen. I fall short of it. I get lost in it. I get mixed up in it. And every now and then, I kind of start to question a little bit. Because I haven't stopped to sharpen. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Men will not get very far. because their folly will eventually become clear to everyone. If we're not prepared, if we're not listening, if we're not prepared, you're going to get swallowed up. And sometimes we put off what we ought to do. I don't read my Bible enough. I do not read it near enough. And when I say read your Bible, I'm not telling you you've got to sit down every morning and read a chapter. I'm not telling you you've got to have an entire book of the Bible done by the end of the week. I'm telling you, open the thing up and just read something. Read two verses. Read four verses. Just read something. I don't do it enough. There's a funny story about school that was just beginning, this writer says, and I don't know who wrote it. One morning, going out to start the car to go to church, had a flat tire, but luckily, I had a spare. I changed the tire quickly and was on my way. Never thought to drop the spare off to get it fixed. I'll get around to it. And within 5 days, went out to the car to go to school, and I had another flat tire and no spare. I had to get them to push it to the nearest service station while it was fixed. The writer goes on to say, when something breaks, fix it now. Don't wait until you need it and don't have it. Paul is saying, right now, brothers and sisters, right now, you need to be sharpening yourself. Don't wait to get the edges too dull. Sharpen. Use your whetstone. In the Watchman Expositor in 1993, George Barna, in his book called An Analysis of the Religious Beliefs in America, cites several fascinating statistics which were based on a national survey. I would love to see this played again now. In chapter 4, he states, the devil or Satan is not a living being, but a symbol of evil. Then asking that segment of his survey respondents who identified themselves as being born again Christians, states, do you strongly agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or strongly disagree with that statement? The born again population replied 32% strongly disagreeing with that statement. 11% somewhat agreeing, 5% didn't know. Thus, the total number of responding, 48% either agreed that Satan is only symbolic or did not know, of born-again Christians. Do you know what happened? They didn't sharpen themselves. They didn't read their whetstone. But wait. Should it be surprising that a few pages later, Barna would receive some very startling responses? His next question, Christian, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, all others pray to the same God, even though they use a different name for God. Again, the respondents were asked to agree strongly, agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly. And of that population who identified themselves as born-again Christians, 30% strongly agreed. 18% agreed somewhat, 12% did not know, and that is a total of 60%. Here's what happens. We lose sight of truth when we allow ourselves to become dull. And how do we become dull? All around us, it has gotten so bad that we are not paying attention. We are not walking back to the whetstone. We are not sharpening ourselves constantly. And if we're not getting this, we're losing sight. And eventually we could be swept away. And as bad as it is for Christians, can you imagine what it's like for those out there that are in pain and lost and murky water and do not know? There's an old story about two men who, back in the day, when men felled trees with axes and crosscut saws, decided one day in camp that they were both equally good at cutting down trees. And so they got, as men would do, they decided they would get into a contest, and they would cut trees all day long and cut them to length, and at the end of the day, they would measure up and see who won. And so they set out about it. And the one man began working furiously on it. And he chopped and hammered and chopped and hammered and chopped and hammered. And every now and then he'd notice his companion sitting over by the cabin taking a rest in the shade. And he chopped and he hammered and he chopped and he hammered. And the companion was over there every now and then, chopped and hammered over there every now and then. And at the end of the day, the straw boss of the gang came up and measured the stacks. And the stacks were equal. And the man that had worked so furiously turned to him and said, "I worked all day long. You sloughed off. Every time I saw you sitting in the shade, you were taking a break while I continued to work. And yet you worked less than I did, and your pile is as great as mine. How is that can be?" The man pushed his hat back on his head and said, "When I stopped to take a rest, I was sharpening my axe." You see what happens? We can get lost in this furious, fervent activity of being in the moment, trying to be bravado, trying to puff out your chest, trying to be strong and show what a great Christian you are by mouthing off about all the ugliness around you. Suddenly, people start talking to you, and you might be listening. "I've done told you. I went to a Bible class taught by a man with a doctorate, and was asked at the beginning of this theology class to state a concrete belief. And I said, and I quote, 'God is God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of Him, came to earth through Mary the Virgin, lived, died, and our only way to heaven, our only way is through our Messiah, Jesus Christ, and we're saved.'" And I felt pretty good about myself. Everybody like that statement? Say amen. Amen. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Well, Paul, I see you have a very fundamentalist view of the Bible. What would you say to those that are still Jewish? Are they not going to be allowed to go to heaven? What about babies who die when they're 2 months old and have not had a chance to believe? Would you say that they're going to be allowed to go to heaven? What about the Muslims who carry on the faith correctly? Or those that have a different name for God, but yet they're still seemingly the same as Jesus Christ? You seem to be excluding them and therefore nullifying yourself as a Christian. Well, now as you can imagine, I am such a patient and peaceful person. And I don't like confrontation. So you can imagine that I did not challenge him thoroughly. That's what I got told. That my faith was fundamental, not correct. And it shook me. It took me down a notch. Now eventually I came back around to understanding. And thankfully I got a hold of my mentor at that time, Pastor Harry Strait, who said these words to me. "You ready?" He goes, "Paul, you got to take them classes." I said, "Yep." He goes, "They're going to feed you the chicken." I said, "Yep." He goes, "You ain't got to eat the beak and the feet. You know that, right?" "Hey, I got you, brother. I'm ready to go again." And he sharpened me. And he turned me back to my whetstone. One of the most dramatic examples of the Bible's divinity, its power, its correct, and its stand alone. Everybody knows the story of the bounty, right? Mutiny on the Bounty, Captain Bligh and all that. Everybody's read that, right? Seen the movie, Errol Flynn, woohoo! Nine men, you know the rest of the story. Nine mutineers along with the Tahitian men and women who accompanied them were thrown off. They found their way to Pitcairn Island, a tiny dot in the South Pacific. It's only 2 miles wide and a mile long. It's kind of like Hancock. 10 years later, drinking and fighting had only left one man alive, John Adams. 11 women and 23 children made up the rest of the island's population. And you all know that that's part of the story. But the rest of the story is more incredible. Adams came across a whetstone in one of the Bounty's treasure chests. And he opened it and he began to read it. and his heart was changed. And he began to teach the children and preach to them. And now to this day, the population of Pitcairn Island, slightly less than 100, maybe more by now, this was written in 1998, are all Christian. All of them. Paul has given us sound instruction. Paul has given us sound teaching. Paul has reminded us to pick up our whetstone regularly and sharpen ourselves. Paul has stated that in front of all of this, one thing remains. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Brothers and sisters, in this day, in this pain, in this time, in this trouble, I encourage you to do one thing. Use your whetstone. Sharpen yourself daily, because you're going to have to go through the weeds. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for that which you have given us. We thank you for that which you have explained to us. We thank you, Father, that you have shown us who we are and what we are, and reminded that we are not perfect. We are not righteous. We are not complete. Father, I encourage you to work hard within our hearts to remind us, to turn us, to strengthen us. I encourage the congregation here and those on the video, Father, that they would be lifted up, that they would find their way, Father, that they would sharpen themselves daily with their own whetstone. Thank you for the words and for the teachings and the liftings, Father. These things we give over in Jesus' precious name. Amen.